Our sermon text today is found in the Old Testament book, Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 1 through 7. This passage is a prophecy of one who would come after Isaiah, one who would be the servant of the Lord. And it's this servant of the Lord in Isaiah's mind's eye that is speaking here. In Isaiah 49. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." But I said, "I have labored to no purpose. I have spent my strength in vain and for nothing. Yet what is due me is in the Lord's hand, and my reward is with my God." And now the Lord says, "He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and gather Israel to himself, for I am honored in the eyes of the Lord and my God has been my strength. He says, 'It is too small a thing for you to be my servant to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring my salvation to the ends of the earth.' This is what the Lord says, the Redeemer and Holy One of Israel, to him who was despised and abhorred by the nation, to the servant of rulers, 'Kings will see you and rise up. Princes will see and bow down because of the Lord who is faithful, the Holy One of Israel, who has chosen you.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks and praise this day, for you alone are the light of the world, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the servant of the Lord who speaks the word of God to us, to all people on this planet, that we might know you and live in relationship with you. Speak to us once again through your word, that we might encounter you this day and know your love for us. We give this time to you in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Are any of you walkers, path walkers, trail walkers? Do you enjoy it? Not this time of year, but maybe this time of year. Bev does, yes? And if you like to, Nancy, like to get out, Nancy, other Nancy, two Nancys, love to get out and walk. I went to our family doctor for a regular, you know, med check and nothing unusual last month. And he asked me, "So what do you do for exercise?" And I said, "Well, we have a broken treadmill." And he said, "Yeah, well, there's a whole great outdoors out there. You should go and do it." And I said, "Well, okay. You know how you do when you're at the doctor's office, right? Like, yes, that's wonderful advice, and I will immediately take action on it." Well, I haven't quite yet. He said that I should invest in snowshoes. And I told Tara that, and we just kind of had a chuckle between us. Like, I guess that would be good exercise, but we don't like the cold. I don't. I said, "Wouldn't you get cold out there?" And he said, "No, after you get out there and move around, it's not that cold." Well, he's probably right, but Ron? You have three pair? And we're about the same size, too, so they're not sized, are they? They're just, you know, whatever. Oh, Ron. What's that? Oh, walking around the mall or Walmart or whatever? Yeah? That's good advice, darling. Oh, goodness. I should have all of you as my physical therapists. Let's go to the... Oh, boy. Now Tara wants to... Thanks, darling. Thank you. Yeah. Oh, goodness. That's true. All of that having been said, makes me think of the idea of a path, walking along a path. Some of you are probably too young to remember this tune from the 80s. You remember way back in the dark ages of the 80s, David? You weren't even alive. But, yeah, I know. I'm joking because I remember it. It's a song that Amy Grant wrote, I think, and made popular. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's a little ditty, a little Christian chorus that was popular back in the 80s. Does that ring a bell for you at all? Sort of? Yeah, okay, yes and no. Thy word, it's quoting Psalms, the book of Psalms, Psalm 119. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. My path. Well, there's that idea again. And light to my feet. Okay, so this is kind of getting us in that mode of thinking about walking along a path. The trouble, though, with that little ditty, if I can criticize Psalm 119, which I'm not trying to, but if we just restrict it to that one phrase, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Okay, well, the Bible is really important, right? And we should read it, and it should be part of our lives. It should form the foundation for how we make choices. That's very, very important. Please don't hear me say anything other than that. However, we are not Bible people. We are Jesus people. The Bible exists to point us to Jesus. The Bible exists to show us how Jesus lived and how Jesus would have us to live. We don't call ourselves Biblians, if that's a word. We call ourselves Christians because we follow Jesus. We use the Bible to help us know who Jesus is. Does that make sense? So while I agree, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, it's one thing to say the scriptures are a light unto my path. It's another thing to say that Jesus is the light that shines on our path. A little more difficult to think about because the Bible is right here. You can touch it. You can read it. You can taste it if you want, I guess. But Jesus is not, you know, physically, tangibly as ready, as available as scripture is for us. But then that makes it even more difficult, I think, thinking about this idea of a path, because the Bible is really, really good at sitting on our shelves and collecting dust, right? If my physician could criticize me for not getting enough exercise, we could probably search around this building or my home or maybe your home and find a Bible or two that have been sitting there for a while and could use a little brushing up, right? How much more difficult, then, is it for us to stay fresh with someone like Jesus, who really is the center of our faith, as we go along our paths of life, if we have so much trouble keeping a book well-dusted and well-read? You follow me? Following Jesus, I think, is a harder thing to do than following the Bible. But the good news is that God is not content to let us wander along our lives, along our paths, outside of a relationship with Him. God shines the light of His salvation into our lives so that we might know the path that leads toward Him. That's God's initiative, that's God's prerogative, that's God's desire. The light of the world, the light of God's salvation is the Word of God, as the Psalm says. But the Word of God is spoken by the servant of God, as Isaiah says here in Isaiah 49. The one that he foretold, the one that would come 600 or so years down the road later. If Isaiah lived today, he would have been thinking about something that would not be fulfilled until the year 2617. Can you imagine? That far down the road is how long it took for Jesus to come onto the scene. In Isaiah's day, the people of God, the Israelites, were in exile. They were separated from the physical presence of God. They were separated from the temple in Jerusalem, which is where they found God's presence to be most centrally located. And as they were away in a foreign land, waiting to come back home, they were physically separated, and that was due to their spiritual separation from God. That is what brought on the exile as they looked back on their history. They had turned away from the Lord, and so the Lord had taken them away from their land. But God says, this situation will not end this way. He's speaking through Isaiah in Isaiah 49. This situation will change when I enter into this world. I will speak my word. I will shine the light of my salvation through my servant who will come when the time is right. And here's the thing, God says. This light will not be just for the Israelites, the people of God who had been my people all along. He says, this light will be for all nations, Gentiles included. I will make you to be a light for the Gentiles, he says to this servant. Gentiles are just anybody who's not a Jew, anybody who's not an Israelite. So it's a way of broadening the horizon to encompass everyone. Isaiah spoke a word of prophetic hope that someday God's salvation would be extended to all people through his coming servant. And about 600 years later, another prophet saw a man coming up from the town of Nazareth and said, look, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The passage that Jeremy read for us a moment ago from John 1. He was talking about Jesus. This Jesus is the light of the world. He is bringing the light of God's salvation for all to see. Jesus, the servant of God, speaks for God. And just as Isaiah foretold, he was despised and abhorred by the nation which did not understand him, and sentenced him to death on a cross. He is the one who rose again and proclaimed the good news that this message of salvation is for all nations. Go and make disciples of all nations, he said, after the resurrection. Jesus is the one who is exalted above all rulers. Kings will see him and rise up. A king seated on a throne does not stand for anyone. Everyone stands in front of the king, if you can envision a throne room. But kings will see this servant, Jesus, and they will stand up. Princes do not bow before anyone except the king, but princes will bow down before this servant, this Jesus, in humility. We are Jesus' people. We follow the one who is the light for all nations. It's not, though, just that Jesus is the goal of our paths of discipleship, our walks of spiritual living. It's not just that we're trying to get to where Jesus is. It's that Jesus is the light for the nations. He is already surrounding us. Light is that amazing thing that surrounds you wherever you are. Almost all the time, there is some light around you. Even at nighttime, there's the moon and stars and mercury lights and street lamps and all sorts of things. The glow of your phone as you're trying to put yourself to sleep at night, right? Maybe you do that. There's light all around us all the time. And it's not just that it originates with some kind of chemical thing, electrical thing happening inside a vacuum tube. Like, now I'm blinded because I just stared at that light bulb. You ever get that dot in your eyes? Don't do that. I just did that. It'll go away. Now I can't see your smiling faces. Maybe that's not so bad. You thought. Or I can't see my notes either. Light is that thing that surrounds us wherever we go. It shows us where we are. It shows us where we want to go on our journey. It accompanies us along the way. That little chorus that I sang, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, has a couple of verses that go with it, you might recall. When I feel afraid and I think I've lost my way, still you're right there beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be with me to the end. And then the second verse, I will not forget your love for me. And yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side. I will love you to the end. See, the path of discipleship begins with recognizing Jesus, the light of the world, is already in our midst. Each of us is on a spiritual journey. And each of our spiritual journeys begins and ends with God. We were created by God and we were created to know God. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end of everything that we are to be about. And each of us is at a different place in our spiritual journey. But each of us has this in common. Jesus, the light of the world, is accompanying us on our journey. He is our guide, our present helper. Not just a distant goal, but one who is here with us, always beside us, always calling us forward, always restoring us to himself, always giving us his salvation, always helping us to reflect his light to those around us. Our paths are all very different from each other, but the light is the same. This metaphor of the path is going to guide our experiences together over the next several weeks. We're going to walk through a series of messages called The Path of Discipleship. And during this series, we're going to look at a number of Old Testament passages, Old Testament prophecies, Old Testament stories that find their fulfillment in Jesus. And meanwhile, each of us is going to have the opportunity to consider our own spiritual journey, to consider where we are and to make a concrete plan for our own spiritual growth in this new year. My goal is for each of us, if you are willing, to create even a written plan with specific, measurable, and achievable goals for how you will grow in your spiritual life, in your relationship with Jesus, in your path of discipleship in this year, 2017. And my hope is that you will join with me in taking this on and taking this seriously, doing some real introspection about your spiritual life and what you hope to experience and achieve in relationship with God and with God's people in the upcoming year. So to help with this, to sort of get the ball rolling, I have a questionnaire for you. This is nothing that you need to be anxious about. You're not going to have to, you know, finish this right now. But this is something that I'd like for you to take with you. Could I have a couple helpers to help pass these out to everybody? David, you're such a good helper. Yes, Sue, right? Yes, Sue. Thank you, Sue. David, you can, whoops, take some. Sue, you can take some and pass them out. Make sure everybody gets one. I noticed David immediately did not go to his own family. Isn't that nice? He must be almost a teen. He is a teenager now, isn't he? Must be a teenager. Oh, goodness. The fun is beginning. Of course, this is your fourth time through having a teenager, so you know how it goes. This questionnaire is your own. It's called a personal discipleship questionnaire. It's 2 pages, front and back. It has 20, did I say 20 questions on it already? It has 20 questions, and they're open-ended. And this is intended for you to take and fill out on your own time, at your own pace, as you are ready to answer them. You might answer one question a day, or every other day, or 2 questions a day, or however you feel like doing it. You might do it all at once, if you feel up to it. But you take some time to answer these questions, put your name on it, and if you're willing, return it to me when you're done. I'd like for you to finish this maybe by the end of the month. You got a couple of weeks between now and the end of this month, so maybe you could do this between now and then. And the purpose of this is to motivate you to create a plan, and we'll have steps in place for you to do that, you know, as we go along in this series, to grow in your relationship with Christ. I need to say, first and foremost, that anything you write on these papers, if you turn them in to me, they're going to be held in complete and strict confidence. That's not going to be shared with anybody. That's just between you and me and the Lord. I will use these, your answers. Thank you, David. Everybody get one? Thank you, Sue. Oh, yeah, you probably want one for yourself, maybe. Thank you. Sue needs one for herself, too. Excellent. There you go. Yeah, anything you write on these and turn into me, I will just use to help understand where you are and maybe create some opportunities for you to grow in different ways as a church, or maybe we'll have a one-on-one conversation. It could be that we end up forming some groups of small groups of people, 6 to 8 people who are kind of working on the same thing at the same places in their lives. I might see that in common and say, hey, would you like to be in a group with somebody to work on, read this book together and discuss it or something like that. Something like along those lines. I want this to be really flexible and open and a meaningful experience for you. So let me run through these questions here briefly just to give you a summary of what these are and to clarify any issues you might have with them. The first 5 questions are under letter A, assessing spiritual growth. First question, do you believe that you are currently walking closer to Christ than you were this time last year? Or are you further away from him? And then why? So you'll take some time to think about where you were in January 2016 in relationship with Christ and kind of compare that to here. And write down some thoughts about where you are. Number 2, what have been the most significant steps you have taken this year? Meaning in this past year, not already in 2017, but you know, since a year ago. In terms of your spiritual growth, what have been some significant things that you have done that have been spiritually nurturing, growing things for you? Number 3, what are some areas of your personal devotional life that you would like to improve upon in this next year? And I've listed a few examples. There are many, many more. Prayer, scripture reading, memorizing scripture, meditation, all sorts of different things. It could be any of a number of things. What would you like to improve upon in this coming year? Question number 4 on the backside. In what areas of your life has God been urging you to change? That's kind of a personal question. And then, have you responded with reluctance or openness or other feelings like opposition or joy? I mean, how have you responded? How has God been urging you to change? And what has been your reaction to that? Number 5, are there any idols or sinful habits that have been defeating you in the past year that you would like to overcome? Here is maybe the most personal of all of the questions on the whole thing. And this is where I remind you again that anything you write down is going to be just between you and me. There's no need for me to spread it to anybody else. That's not what this is about. On the other hand, if there's something in your life, a sinful habit, something that you know is not healthy, and you're not even comfortable writing it down, maybe it's such a struggle for you that you don't even want to see it on the piece of paper for whatever reason. I understand. If that's the case, let's talk about it. If you're willing, find somebody to talk to about it. If it's not me, maybe somebody else. Those things can be very personal and very intense, but very important as well. The next 3 questions have to do with spiritual understanding. Number 6, in which areas of Christianity do you feel you are lacking in knowledge or experience? Kind of a broad question, but is there something that you feel like you're kind of missing out on, something that you'd like to get a little bit better at? Any area of Christianity, very broad. Number 7, specifically about the Bible, what specific areas of the Bible do you want to understand better? And if you can be specific about that, that would be great, rather than just saying, you know, all of it. Well, sure. But which parts of it? A certain book? A certain type of book? How many authors there were? Who these authors were? What the differences in the translations are? A certain passage that's been bugging you? Anything along those lines? What specific areas of the Bible do you want to understand better? And then number 8, what books have you read or listened to? Because you might, you know, do the podcast thing or the audiobook, whatever. What books have you read or listened to this year? And it's Christian or non-Christian, and if it could be anything, any kind of book that you've been reading. And if you're like my wife, Tara, or like Nancy Hyatt, I don't want to see a list of 300 books or more, 5,000 books, however many books you read. If you read a lot of books, put down a couple that maybe have been meaningful to you, or a couple of categories of books that you enjoy reading. If you're not much of a reader, that's okay too. Put down something that has been interesting to you that you've read. It might not even be a book. It might be an article online that you read or something else. What have you been reading? That's my question. What voices are speaking into your world? That's the idea. Part C, the next four questions, had to do with your personal relationships. How would you like to see your relationships with family and friends grow and mature in the coming year? What are you looking forward to? What are you anticipating? What are you hoping to see happen in your relationships in the coming year? And then number 10, what specific areas of training, if any, would be helpful for you in those relationships? Would you like somebody to come and teach us about forgiveness? Or would a marriage enrichment thing be useful? Or would a parenting class be helpful? Or would a budgeting, financial planning class be a good thing to help resolve some financial tensions that you might have? What specific areas of training? Put some thought into that. Questions 11 and 12 go together. And these are yes or no questions, so they might be the easiest to answer, but you should do some thinking about them too. Number 11, are you currently being discipled? Or trained, or guided, or helped, or mentored? There are a lot of words that we can use there. By another Christian. Is there somebody who's helping you along in your spiritual journey? We each need someone like that in our lives. A personal relationship that's, it can look in a lot of different ways, but where you have some regularity to your conversations about your spiritual life and how you are growing as a disciple of Jesus. Is there somebody in your life who's like that? And then number 12 is the kind of reverse question. Are you that person for somebody else? Are you currently helping to disciple or train or guide or help or mentor another Christian? The image I've had in my mind is an image of a really long chain of people holding hands, where there's a person in front of you who is your guide, helping you forward in your life, and you're reaching backward to someone behind you whom you are helping forward in their lives too. Are you connected on both ends? Of your life, something to think about. Part D, the next two questions, thinking about your everyday life, what you do on an everyday basis, outside of Sunday mornings where we all, you know, have our right activities and behaviors and dresses and words and friendships and things that are all, you know, perfect, right? Because everything in church is always perfect, right? In your daily life, in what ways do you see yourself living as Jesus lived? How are you living like Jesus lived? What was important to Jesus? How is that showing up in your life? What are some ways? Don't just say, oh, I don't do it at all. I'm such a terrible person. Maybe there are some ways that you actually are hanging out with people that are not quite desirable in society. Jesus did a lot of that. Maybe you are standing up for what's right. Jesus did a lot of that too. Maybe you're staying in the scriptures. That's something that Jesus did. Maybe you're taking time for prayer. That's something Jesus did. There are lots of things that Jesus did. How are you imitating Jesus in your daily life? And number 14, how would you like to learn to live as Jesus lived? In other words, what parts of his life are attractive to you that you want to learn to imitate? What are some things that he does that you don't quite do yet, but you think you really could? And on the back page, part E, having to do with assessing your serving, your giving, your sharing. Number 15, in what areas of church life are you currently serving? There could be a lot. There could be a few. You might be on our prayer chain. You might be on our youth ministry team. You might be one of the scripture readers. You might help with children's church. You might... There are so many things that we do as a congregation. How are you serving in our church life? The next question pushes you a step forward. In what areas of church life would you like to serve but are not currently serving. Number 17 has to do with a fancy word called stewardship. Do you feel like you are giving of your time, your talents, and your finances in a way that is pleasing to God? And if not, in which areas would you like to improve? And number 18 has to do with sharing Jesus with other people. Have you shared the gospel with someone in the past year? Have you talked about Jesus with somebody who doesn't already know Jesus? How would you like to improve in that kind of personal evangelism? It's a broad range of questions. The last two questions are kind of catch-all questions. What are some other areas in which we can help to equip you and encourage your growth in Christ? And finally, do you have any other feedback so that we can serve you better in the area of your own spiritual growth and discipleship? 20 questions. You can do a lot of really serious thinking about this. You can take it as lightly or as seriously as possible. The more seriously you take it, the more useful of an experience it will be for you. So I encourage you to do that. See if you can finish this by the end of the month and just return it to me anytime. If you want to keep the paper and email your questions or whatever, that's cool too. Whatever, however you like to handle it will be great. The path of discipleship, the goal of this process is to help us see the path forward and know what steps we can take individually and as a congregation in this coming year, in this new year, 2017, to make steps forward in our relationship with Christ, the light of the world. Jesus, the light of the world, is in our midst. How is Jesus calling you to move forward along your path of discipleship? Let's pray together. Lord, we give you thanks for being our present help and companion and guide on this journey of life. Help us, Lord, to engage with you in the coming days and weeks as we prayerfully consider these 20 questions related to our own spiritual lives, our own paths of discipleship. Use this experience as you see fit to draw us close to you and to help us grow in you in this coming year. And may your church be strengthened as a result of our efforts together, that we might glorify your name and shine your light to those around us so that all might know that you are Lord. We give you thanks for the work that you are doing in our lives. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray these things.